Hey, this is Ryan Barnett. You're watching Shout Out Loud Cast, and we're playing lots of good music. I know these guys are great fans of rock and roll, and that's what we deliver. See you all soon. Please come and see us when we play in America. I want to.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Oy.
This is Gene Simmons.
Put that cookie down.
Kiss.
Stop pressing the button.
Star Roger Simmons.
Star?
Paul Stanley. Is that what he does?
Stop shouting.
Ace Frehley.
He's not what you would call a handsome man.
Oh, no. Here come the kiss times.
Is that a positive thing?
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to grab me an ice cold mellow yellow.
Why? Why do that to the fan?
Stop it.
Why?
Because fuck them.
Clap them.
What are you talking about?
617-525-0.
You do?
Hey, fuck them.
Do you like
Kiss?
Settle down.
Hello. Hey, what's up there, Kiss Army? Tom and Zeus, another episode of Shout It Out Loudcast, episode 216. This one is called Michael DeBar.
Yeah. My head is still hurting from laughing so hard. We just finished the interview with him, and my God, it just, woo, incredible. Incredible. Yeah. Can't wait for you guys to hear this.
Yeah, we'll get into it shortly.
Yep.
I will try to make sure that we don't go off on too much of rants today.
No, that never happens.
Yeah. So we're in the middle of the beginning of the Kiss Ultimate Madness Tournament.
Yep.
And it's a lot of work, mostly done, shouldered by my buddy over there, Tom, who handles all the polls, the putting all the brackets and getting all this stuff done. And he's shouldered most of it. And you guys, some of you guys are excellent. However, some of you guys,
we give the people who aren't familiar with what a bracket is, most of the European overseas people, but my God, wow.
And my favorite, nobody's doing it with ill intent. Nobody's trying to be a dick and stuff.
No,
it's just very overwhelming. So in general, like, again, you know, people are trying to be nice, but they're asking, oh, why don't you do a Tom? Why don't you do a horror movie one? Yeah, like he's got nothing to do right now.
Maybe I will. Although I did filter people over to a Twitter page that does a horror March Madness thing. So, I mean, I'm glad you guys love it. And we loved it. We wouldn't do it if we didn't love doing it. But especially this year, I said to Zeus, by far, we have shattered the record for the number of brackets we've received.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Which is fucking awesome.
We got a lot of good people involved. We got a lot of the regulars. I love seeing some people that have on their fifth time doing a March Madness
They've been with us since year one.
Yeah. So thank you guys for playing along. Thank you guys for being there. And let's make life easier for Tom, huh? Come on.
Don't worry about me. If you fuck up, I'll just delete your bracket and discard it. So don't worry about it. I've done that before.
So anyway, before we go forward, we go backwards. And we do it with the help of our friend Tony Barone, the tax man.
Yes, Tony and AB CPA Inc. Hey, Loudcasters, AB CPA Inc. is an accounting firm located in the suburbs of Chicago that can assist you with all of your accounting and tax needs. For business, they offer bookkeeping, financial statements, payroll processing, payroll tax returns, sales tax returns, filing federal and state income tax returns, and helping with starting your own business. For individuals, they offer help with sole proprietorships, rental real estate, trust and estate tax returns, and filing personal federal and state income tax returns. They have access to all 50 states. So whether you live in
Indiana
or Arkansas. ABCPA Inc. can prepare and e-file on your behalf. Did you know Kiss Army? If you own a business with employees and have had a 20% reduction of revenue than you did in 2019 due to COVID or state mandated shutdowns, you might be entitled to additional tax credits. Follow them on Facebook and LinkedIn and visit them on their website at www.abcpainc.com. That's abcpainc.com. Or email Tony at tony@abcpainc.com. That's tony@abcpainc.com. Or call him 708-430-3232. That's 708-430-3232. Mention Shout It Out Loudcast and get 10% off your tax preparation fees. And I want to add a separate comment here as well. I am proud to say that I am taking advantage of Tony's business because Tony is filing my taxes for me this year. 2022 was a bit of a year for me, and that's all I'll say. So it's a little overwhelming for me to go through everything. So Tony, as a friend, as a loudcaster, and as a CPA, is handling my affairs for me. And so far, the process with Tony has been beyond smooth. Everything has been great, communication and everything. So please, you can listen to me. Trust me, kids. Go to abcpainc.com. And Tony, thank you. As a friend, as a loudcaster, as an advertiser, and as the tax man, go to him.
Yeah, ABCPA Inc. and Tony Barone.
That's right.
So, Tom, we did a poll.
Yeah, we've done 9,000 polls, but
yep.
The poll that we did for episode related was we decided to say which of these is the best song that did not make the tournament of 64 songs. And the options were 2000 Man, Shandy, Strange Ways, and The Oath. Zeus, care to venture who won that poll?
I don't give a fuck because you guys put Shandy in there and you half of you guys are morons, but go ahead.
Wow. Other than that, okay, cool. Strange Ways, 31%.
Ace Cult.
2000 Man, 25%.
Ace Cult.
Shandy, 24%.
Morons.
Oath, 20%.
That's beyond stupid.
That is beyond stupid because The Oath is the best song out of the four.
Exactly. Exactly.
The fact that came in last is just beyond ridiculous. Our buddy Andy, could be several upsets. I would pick multiple ones that are seated in the teens, maybe even a 16th seed. Yes, that's true. Bob Zelenka says, when it comes time to vote, I'm voting for two 16 seeds over two of the number one seeds. This should be fun. Parasite or Come On and Love Me. I'm stuck. I can't even flip a coin. That's Jim Riley. Lot of comments like that. The feedback has been overwhelming, incredible, amazing, and so much fun. And we're just getting started. By the time this episode drops, couple of the brackets will already have been over. And we just can't wait to continue. It's going to be killer. And the one thing we want to say too is that we were proud to show off everybody the amazing prize pack that you're going to win. So obviously the event is sponsored by the great Tony Barone from abcpainc.com, but it's also sponsored by Jersey Ninja and their incredible hockey jerseys, including their Kiss ones that Zeus and I both own, and Gene Simmons Money Bag Soda, where you guys are going to get a bundle of soda from them, a Gene Simmons Money Bag t-shirt, and some Shout It Out Loudcast merch. So this is going to be an amazing prize pack, and we think that this tournament is going to be pretty incredible. The early rounds are always the best. People are hoping for some upsets. We'll see what we get, but it's going to be a blast. So we can't thank you guys enough for the participation and the involvement and interaction. It's going to be great.
All right, Tom, over on our Facebook page, a couple people are looking at the brackets and already upset about future matchups. Chris D says, I stole your love versus fits like a glove. Son of a bitch.
Yep.
Kyle Schneider says, we're supposed to choose between Come On and Love Me and Parasite. You guys are evil.
Yep.
Adam Nickmeyer says, Tom, Jesus Christ, how come you don't have an interactive bracket?
You want to read my response to him?
Sorry, we're not ESPN. Yeah, Jesus fucking Christ is right. And I told him, thanks, we'll use this for our next rant. Yeah, we're going to go spend fucking, I don't know, how many thousands of dollars to make an interactive Twitter fucking poll bracket for you guys?
You lazy. Fill it out. Yeah, you lazy fucks can print out the thing and do it.
Or feel free to donate to our Patreon page and then we'll buy it. I don't know how much it will cost us. A couple thousand dollars, Tom?
Easy. But anyways, Adam, we love you anyways. We love you anyways, Adam Nickmeyer.
For now.
For now.
Over on our Loudcasters page, Gary Kapp.
Uh-oh. Angry Gary.
Time to reclaim my title.
Ooh, I like
Gary was a previous winner.
I like when people talk like that. But Gary, the challenge of this, and it's actually not really a challenge. Are you going to pick the bracket that's fun, or are you going to pick the bracket that you think is going to get you to win the tournament? Because this is a Kistar tournament. Okay, Mr. Speed ain't going to the Final Four. It's never going to happen. Sorry.
Yeah, I've had that. That's one of the next comments I was going to read. Paul Jakober says, note to self, when filling out this bracket, think like a Kistard.
That's right.
Best chances of winning.
That's right. That's right.
Yep. Yeah. Over on our YouTube page, Marty White says, I think I got the wrong brackets. Mine are comparisons of Kiss songs and songs they rip off. Let's put the X in sex, Addicted to Love. Reason to Live, I want to know what love is. Read My Body, Pour Some Sugar on Me. I Just Wanna, Summertime Blues. These can't be the right ones, right?
Nice. Well done. Well done.
Yeah. Patrick writes, the ultimate in Kiss nerdology. I love it. Your podcast will outlast the last days of Kiss by far with creative episodes like these. Much better than regurgitating the known and endless fact-checking in a soulless effort like many others out there. Wish I had the time to play. Using the last 2 or 3 years, results and metrics could easily give an edge to picking the right horse.
Oh, I like it. He's going to do like Moneyball for the Kiss tournament.
Over to you, Tom.
Let's get to a couple emails here. So we got, this comes from our good friend, Mr. Antonio 2005 from our website. Yes, you can comment directly on our website at shoutoutloudcast.com. He says, Sam Ace Rothstein just called, and he's given a 5-to-1 odds that a Peter song makes it into the Final Four this year. He's also given 50-to-1 odds that Ace's girlfriend joins his band as a backup singer in 23. She's my new bride. And then we got one from our good buddy, Costa Vucinas. Love, love, love the Kiss Madness tournaments. Guaranteed laughs watching these one-on-one battles develop on Twitter. This year's tournament is special for me as it means spring is finally here and I can soon go back to listen to you guys on the weekend and early week. Life does imitate Seinfeld, and what started as helping out a colleague whose car died during the holidays by offering a lift to and from work downtown became 3.5 months of this is how it would feel like to be in traffic twice a day with your parents in the car, yakking nonstop, yes, non-fucking-stop about what every driver on the road is doing wrong, including me. She's a nice lady who should have retired a decade ago. But since she lives 2 minutes from my house, works at the same place I do, and her dealership promised they would have her new car for her in the new year, I said okay to giving her a lift. And Zeus, before your mind goes there, she's not exactly what you would call Linda Carter. More like a hungover Maude, or the teacher in the girls' school video from Britney Fox. This carpooling destroyed my routine of listening to you guys while in the car, even though at first, yeah, Costa, don't listen to this fucking episode. She would actually laugh along with your comments. Until the day I went to gas up and I didn't pause the show. When I got back in the car, she asked if we could listen to the morning news instead of those filthy characters on this channel. I think it was one of the episodes where you guys were talking about Rita Hayworth, Ava Gardner, or Joan Crawford getting banged by anyone, plus PETA North Stars throwing ropes. So now I've been listening to CJAD 800 AM radio news, weather, and sports all this time. But yesterday, she let me know that her car was being delivered on March 31st. So I am ecstatic that I won't have to wait until my Thursdays and Fridays off to catch up on your episodes. The show keeps getting better and better, and you guys continue to find ways to deliver so much material that is varied but consistently funny, interesting, and relevant. There is nothing a Kissed Hard craves more than to hear news about the band or music they have never heard before. And this is what SIOL does every week. Kudos, gents. Yeah, Costa. Incredible story, incredible email, my friend. And for that, you are comment of the week.
Good answer. Good answer. Like the way you think. We're going to be watching you.
Ah, God bless you, Costa. That was awesome. Love it.
That was great. Now, one more thing I do want to mention about the brackets. We were thrilled to get some heavy hitters participating again this year. We had our buddies Chris Jericho, Charlie Benante, PJ Farley, Bruce Kulick, the girls from Plush, and a real interesting surprise, Zeus, Linda Cohn from ESPN. Wow.
The great Jeremy Asbrock. Phil had sent me some messages too. Yep. He was going to get it in. And then the usual suspects that, you know, come along. Ugh, we got to look at Sonny's. We got to look at fucking Courtney, Cronin, Smith, Gold, Rodham, Clinton.
Casada. I don't even know if he sent one in, that Hall of Famer.
He's not in the Hall of Fame. Stop. No,
he's not. He's never getting in. Never. And the more you guys push for it, it's never happening.
Yeah. Joey Casada. Anyway, what we'd like to do next is give a tip of the hat and a shout out to our family over at Patreon. Patreon is one of the reasons why this podcast is still continuing to grow and continuing to find the success we've had. And we couldn't have done it without Patreon. Patreon is where people can join and contribute to the show in different tiers. And then we, in turn, give back some stuff in different tiers. And it's a fun community. The conversations in there are hilarious. We do our own little things. We got our own little gigs going on in Patreon, and it's never been bigger and it's never been better. And they do a lot to help the show. As we always say, if you always wonder, hey, man, I love the show, how can I help? Well, you really want to help the show? Become a Patreon member. I mean, we have different tiers on purpose so that, you know, if something can fit your budget. But being a Patreon member really helps the show. And it's a big, big reason why this show keeps growing. And we get awesome guests like the one we got. And we keep coming up with new ideas and stuff that will be coming down the pike. And you'll see, because they'll be coming here soon. So thank you very much. We love our Patreon family. God bless. And, you know, if you're interested, go to patreon.com. Go to Patreon, the app, but more importantly, go to the website. Right on the landing page, it says Patreon. Click that and read all about us.
You guys are the best. We say it every week. So eternally grateful for every contribution that you guys make. We love the Patreon family. You guys are so special to us. And again, this show exists and continues to grow and do great things all because of you. We do it for you and we do it because of you. So thank you so much.
Tom, what we do is we go over to Kiss World, find out what's going on over there. It's kind of quiet, right?
It is kind of quiet, yeah. Zeus and I, before we record, were talking a little bit about some stuff about the cruise, because there's people are starting to get a little worried. I mean, it's the end of March. The website shows something about news will come out in the spring of 23, but I don't know, man. Anything on your end? Are you seeing anything?
So what I did is I, on my own, called them yesterday.
Oh, perfect. There you go.
And I spoke to the rep, and they don't have any news. Now,
that's not good.
What I asked them was, does that mean that they can't go in January? Are you guys booked? She said, no, there are two spots still available in January.
But for the Kiss cruise to be scheduled.
Yes, it's possible. But we don't have any news yet. It could happen soon. It might not happen till later. But, you know, she hasn't heard one thing that it's canceled. She hasn't heard that it's definitely going. But all she said was that they're still opening. So people that you see are saying, oh, they're booked for January. So it's definitely like, no, that's not true. I heard it directly from the Kiss Cruise people. There's still openings for January if Kiss Cruise is happening on that month.
Interesting. Yeah, it's just weird that I don't know. I put it this way. I mean, not to be melodramatic here. I'm getting a little bit worried that there might be second thoughts or there might be something going on, because when we were on the Kiss Cruise last year, there was tons of specific information about the cruise, even as so much to say that it would be January of 24. I mean, it still can be, but usually this stuff is booked and planned like almost a year out. Usually you can put like a down payment on the next cruise while you're on the existing cruise. I'm not sure. Other than that, kind of quiet, really nothing going on.
No, Tom, I would just probably add that, the Spinning Gold commercials are coming out. It's being released, I think, on the 31st or the 30th. I'm not even sure.
That looked, I can't get past the fucking makeup. I can't get past it. It's so embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, that's coming out too. And other than that, it's really, prepping for the new concert dates coming out. I mean, they're all over the place. Every time I scroll on social media, there's a fucking Kiss thing, or I'll get emails about the Kiss concerts coming up. So, that's really it. So let's take a break and let's see if I can get the maitre d' to come smell what's going on in my car.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
All right, we're back. The car still stinks. And while I was gone, I tried to return Rochelle to the video store. And yeah, they don't even have VHS there anymore. So we're kind of in trouble with that one. We'll see if Michael can help us.
Yes. Speaking of Michael, he's been in the Kiss world, the Zeppelin world, in my life for years. And in addition to that, he's all over TV. So as you'll see in the interview, he's always been kind of like, I know that guy. Well, why is that guy famous? I've seen that guy. I know, like, and he has this awesome documentary on Amazon Prime, Michael DeBar, Who Do You Want Me to Be? Go check it out. It's about an hour. You'll fucking love it.
It's incredible.
This guy knows everybody and everybody knows him. He has no fucks left to give. And again, you know, we're going into this. I'm not sure how he's going to be because he's a fucking badass. You know, maybe he doesn't have the patience or he's quick or he's, you know, glib or whatever. I don't know what we're going to get because he's got such a strong personality. Man, I don't want to get too much into it, but so glad we got this interview. Just so glad.
It was incredible. Like I said, my head is still hurting from laughing. When he is not being hilarious, he is being so thoughtful and introspective and appreciative of his life, of his career, of his connections, of his involvements. But then he's just fucking hilarious. It was what a special interview. We could have easily spent 2 hours with this guy by far. And he was so gracious with the time that he gave us. And we think you guys are just going to have a lot of fun with it. So
here you go.
All right. So we're welcoming an extremely special guest that we're so excited to have. A man whose resume is so long and vast that it could probably be its own episode. He is a rock star. He is a musician. He is an actor. He is a marquee. He has been in the band Silverhead, Detective. He's worked with Jimmy Page and Robert Plant and Kiss and Gene Simmons. He's been on Seinfeld. We are beyond excited to welcome Michael DeBar to Shout It Out Loudcast. Welcome, Michael.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. Who is this Michael DeBar fellow? Who do you want him to be? Do you want to marry him? Which is tough because I'm married and I've had
three. Yeah, we just met your wife, so I don't think that'll work.
She's the greatest, my third wife. You know, good things come in threes. You know,
that's right. That's
all sorts of things. But I'm happy to be with you, Kiss fanatics. You know, I love them. They opened for Silverhead. You know that, right?
Yes. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
74.
So me and Johnny Thunders, so we're in New York, and, you know, Silverhead, 71 and 72, I don't remember at all. I remember every, you know, little things like what I wore and stuff like important things. You know what I mean? So I'm in the wings with Johnny Thunders watching Kiss, and we'd done Angel Dust. And Peter Criss started to go higher and higher and higher and higher. And oh my God, Johnny faints.
Wow. Okay.
Johnny Thunders faints. Because of this, what the fuck is happening? And we're so stunned. We've been up for like 2 months, you know, or whatever it was. And so, and that was my first, you know, vibe of Kiss. And I was mesmerized by anybody who had the balls to go out there. I mean, you know, it was very difficult for us too with the eyeliner and mascara. Yeah. And, you know, but our makeup had been on there for 6 weeks. I mean, it wasn't like we had somebody do it that morning and we go to do the gig, you know, with our makeup person. You know, our makeup person was whatever girl in whatever city had some makeup. You know, that was the vibe. So I was struck by how heroic they were on every level. Really? On a rock and roll level, on a music level, on a ballsy level. And the songs were just rock and roll songs. Eddie Cochran, you know, but very loud, you know. And I love all of that bollocks. You know? And then, of course, the whole thing switches and I open for them in Madison Square Garden, which I think is a beautiful sort of vibe. You know, you got one thing with the clubs and they were opening for, you know, glam rock rats. Like, we were about as glamorous as rats in the basement, you know. And then to open for these boys with this extraordinary show they had, it was just really great, man. You know, it's a very, very cool way to meet them and be with them.
Yeah.
Now, so to jump in, we always ask every guest that we have some questions, you know, specific to the band.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a favorite member, or are you closer with one member over the others?
Yes. I always thought that I was sort of a Gene guy.
Yeah.
You know, there's two things going on here. Gene Simmons, you know, I have interviewed on the various shows that I've had online. Yeah. And Paul, I respect deeply. I would see him every now and then. I would go and have breakfast up in Benedict Canyon, and Paul would be there having, like, you know, one egg.
Okay.
You know what I mean? God bless him. And I think it was scrambled. I'm not sure. We can always call him. But Gene was the one that I adored, you know, because he was so incredibly unique. Mm. He was not a stone schmuck. He wasn't, you know, desperate for coke and all of that bollocks, which, you know, the other two, you know what I mean? I mean, you know,
he's
the opposite of Ace and Peter, absolutely, you know, and that couldn't have lasted because, you know, for obvious reasons. But I would say, you know, Gene Simmons, I've always respected him for so many, many things, what he's done and how he's always told the truth about his mother, about his
mother. Great
about
story.
What he believes in, what his philosophy is, what an entrepreneur he is. He's not just a demon.
Yeah,
he's
that's a character.
You know, he has a personal character. I have never seen him be somebody else other than who he is. He doesn't think about who he is. He is who he is. And a lot of people go around with that mantle of success and that gleaming rock stardom, and it's and new teeth.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
You can back it up.
Yeah.
And maybe an extra 12 pounds when they're not on the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, of course.
So they go from a 28-inch waist to a 35-inch waist and then have to get rid of it. That's called rock and roll.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's, you know, magnificent. I've interviewed him. He believes he has a faith in himself. And I love that. I do.
Absolutely.
It's not ego. Everybody thinks he's egoistic. That's not true. It's confidence.
Confidence.
It's fucking difference. You know, you either believe in what you're doing or you don't. If you don't believe it, who the fuck is going to believe you?
It's true. It's
funny. I think you guys have that in common, though, Michael, because I watched your documentary on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
It is fucking awesome. And anybody who hasn't seen it needs to go see it. It is a great documentary. It's on Amazon Prime. Right.
Amazon, and it's directed by J. Elvis Weinstein, who is a brilliant, brilliant director. It's first time that he, you know, done this, and he came to me. I did a TV show with him, you know, several times, and he was a writer on the shows. And he said, "Hey, MDB, let's do a book." So we started to do a book, and then he started to get into me, and then he thought, "No, no, no, I think people should see it rather than read it." which was so cute, you know. And he did. And, you know, it was the top 10 rock doc of that year because of the pandemic. Everybody
fantastic. It's fantastic. It's you know what? I found out. I mean, it's very true. You're somebody that has always kind of been around. I always heard the name, whether it's in music, whether it's on film or TV. You're famous. And it's always like, and I didn't know your backstory and watching it. I said to Tom, I was like, you know what's awesome about it? It's like, he doesn't give a shit. He's him.
No.
Yep.
No.
He's him. He's genuine. And the background of you actually being a marquee. And I love how they told the story, how your ancestor helped, like, the first French king in the, ever in the Battle of England.
It's incredible.
I'm like, wait a minute.
Yes. And I can ride a horse. I'm a fantastic horse riding person.
This difficult childhood.
So goddamn romantic to be on a horse. I mean, what woman of the age wouldn't like to see any man on a horse?
It's true.
I don't know.
Guys that ride horses get laid, which is the title of my new album.
Tom, let's get a horse.
Yeah, that's a great name for for an album there, Michael.
We're going all the way. We're galloping along here. You know what I'm saying?
But that's fascinating shit because I'm watching the video and they're talking about your background of, like, you're coming from this poor background, but because of that title, you're entitled to go to, like, the best of schools.
Yeah,
and you're getting this education, but you're still poor. And you're learning to adapt.
No, my dad was in jail, you know, for embezzlement. And he was there for years. And my mum was in the loony bin, you know, because of schizophrenia and all of that. So
yeah.
I can say it quite sort of unabashedly. And I don't want to be emotional about it because a lot of people go through what I went through.
Yeah,
I can
imagine. Them,
you know, who's been, right. parents have been, shall we say, not present. But it was a present. Mm. It was a present for me because I learned how to just deal with myself. And what I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it, I was left alone from 8 to 16 with these lunatic British aristocrats who were all gay. Wow. God bless them. I love gay people. I love all people. It doesn't mean it. What I do mean is I was abused by these people in this. And I had to keep my head. I had to keep my soul on fire with work and education, books. Everybody went away on the vacations and I'm left in the library. Mm. You can imagine what the library of a public school in England was. Everything from Socrates to to Serge Gainsbourg. You know, I mean, it was and I learned and I read and I understood the aristocracy and I learned how to maneuver my life that would be advantageous. And then I heard Muddy Waters, you know, and that was that. Once I'd sussed the blues out, then I thought, well, that was great, but I was cute. So I was putting, you know, I got TV shows real quick. You know, I was like 12, even younger than that, you know, doing commercials and stuff. And then at 16, I did To Sell With Love.
Yeah. And you said, and in again, the documentary is just incredibly fascinating, but you said that once you saw your face, like whether it was on an advertisement or a billboard or on the screen for a movie, that's what you wanted to do. You even make the motion during the documentary of the screen with your hands and saying,
in the portrait,
that's where I want to be. I'm in your screen. And that was, and God love you. You've carried that on until today.
Well, the frame of life, if you know, it's right here. I'm in a frame with you.
That's right.
I've been in a frame all my life.
Yep.
You know, some have been 8 by 10, some have been 20 feet by 10 feet, you know, but as long as it's in frame. Now, what is the underlying emotion of that? It's to be loved.
Right.
I was not loved. I didn't feel the love, you know, from the mom and dad. They were too, you know, involved in their own difficulties. So I'm sure all actors, actresses, musicians on that level are looking for some way of being held on a kind of a family level. And I've often looked out at that crowd, and of course sex is on their mind. Of course, the rhythm of rock and roll, and that is a sensual thing. I've always said rock and roll's heart beats below your waist, you know. But there's another vibe going on as well, and that is the ownership of, you know, knowing that these people are digging it. So I'm heartbroken when they don't.
Yeah.
You know, and all of those. But I've come to terms with all that bullshit. Right now, I just love to bring music to people with Little Steven, you know.
Great.
I do that 3 hours a day and have done for 9 years. And it's really centered me and taken away that egoic need for patronage and mother and father and so on.
Yeah, and it's really no surprise when you hear your story, and we get back to Gene's story.
Yeah,
how the two of you have that kinship. How you really are fascinated with Gene as a human, not just as a rock star. Because I think your stories aren't that different. Am I right?
No, he brought himself up, but he had this wonderful mother.
Yes, that's true. Tell, that's true.
You know, but you can tell from him that he knows what he wants.
Yeah.
I knew what I wanted, you know, and to a degree, I'm satisfied with what I got, you know. I mean, it's an amazing thing. You know, what's really important to me is Gene now lives in 7 castles, you know, throughout the world, and you know, and has more shoes than Polina Portsikova.
Okay.
But then again, so do I. We have so many things in common, high heels being one of them. But anyway, so he's got all of this shit, you know, it's wonderful, and he owns it. He believes it. Yes, I'm good. That's good. I deserve it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know, I have not played Madison Square Garden seven nights in a row. You know, I might have done a Whiskey A Go-Go seven nights in a row that I suggest is a lot more fun than doing Madison Square Garden for seven nights. You know, I mean, everything I've done, you know, I haven't gone triple platinum, quadruple platinum, but I have here. I have a platinum heart.
Okay, yes.
Which is
wonderfully said.
Yeah. You know,
for something, a platinum heart and golden kidneys.
You need those.
You need those. Platinum
testicles, which is the name of my new band. We're very excited. Anyway, but yes, Gene and I have a lot in common. And I love the guy. He's amazing. He's a superhero without the demonic vibe.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
That's
the
true.
Thing I was going to say is both of you guys have no fucks given. You don't give a fuck. You're confident in what you want. You know it. So all the peripheral shit is okay, but you know what you want and what matters to you. And you just let it hang it out and you're yourselves. And I really get that vibe. But I want to get back to one quick thing about some Kiss stuff.
Yeah.
Have a favorite Kiss song?
You know, it's an interesting vibe and a great question and an obvious question. They've only written one song. They've only recorded one song.
Okay.
Mongoloid Man?
I like that song.
Okay.
Make sense? Make sense?
Yeah, okay.
I get what you're saying.
I get it. I get you.
I mean, it's a Kiss song.
Okay.
You know, nobody else could, obviously is the biggest and the most interesting. And
rock and roll night. Yeah.
See, the thing is the great artists have simplified, even Dylan, with his intellectualism of go-go, you know, he's simplified the complex, blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
You either understand what he's talking about or you don't. It's the same with Kiss. You either get off of I want to rock and roll all night, party every day. You even that is a mantra for teenagers.
Or your anthem.
Teenagers are now 60. But the point is that mantra is something they can live with when they're, you know, mending somebody's shoes.
Mm.
So you've got that in you. Kiss has brought out something that can never be taken away from either the band or the fans.
Interesting.
That's really, really important thing to understand. What's your favorite song? It would be that, because that song is all of the songs.
Yeah, it makes sense what you're saying. It's a great point.
If you don't stand for something, you fall fucking over.
Excellent. I love that.
Now, would you say his 78 solo album is your favorite album since you were on that one?
Yeah, it was really fun. Look, he's got a tremendous sense of rock and roll. He's a great singer. He really knows harmony, which is what. So what happened was there were a bunch of people singing. I can't remember. It was like
the lady from Peg Bundy was singing with you on "See You in Your Dreams." That's
Katie. Katie Seagal. Right. There was Helen Reddy.
Katie is and Cher. I love them both very much. You know, I've known them for 2 years. But what happened to me was I don't sing fucking harmonies. I mean, I scream and yell, as you know, and I Gene goes, wait a minute, look, you guys do the chorus thing, and then he'll go in and make some noises.
And that's you in the beginning, right? But that's scream in the beginning of the song. That's you.
That is indeed. I'm a good screamer. Ask anybody.
So the listeners. So the listeners need to know at the beginning of "See You in Your Dreams," at that about that 5 second mark, you hear that high pitched scream. That's Michael right here. That's him.
Yeah. And I was doing it, and it was fantastic. And I was sober at the time too. You know, I go 72.
What 78? Year was that?
That was 78.
Yeah, I was well sober by then, and still am. But
that's a great. I mean, that's a great other part of your life.
Well, it is, but it's also my attachment to Gene, who I've never seen. I don't think he even drinks.
No, he doesn't do anything. He's legendary for that.
So we have that too. And yet at the time, you know, when we first met, I was using like crazy, you know.
Which is why it's funny that you gravitate to Gene and Paul, the two guys that are straight in the band.
Yeah.
And the two fucking party animals that I thought would be right up your alley, Peter.
No.
And Ace, I seen photos of you guys hanging out, but you weren't really close to those two, were you?
Well, dig it, junkies are boring.
That's a good point. No, you're right.
Again, a great title because you You know, I mean, you either got sus, they say in England. You either in the moment, existentialism, in the moment, like we are doing right now, this yep. is in the moment, where nothing is rehearsed, no questions you've sent me. People send me questions, I rip them up, yep. wipe my ass with them, and throw them and sell them on, you know, fucking Instagram. But anyway,
yeah.
So, no, I didn't fall, you know, I'm not going to go, you know, go and go, call Vince, get more, you know, get it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you've said that like listening to a junkie story or talking about how much coke Ace is going to snort. That's boring. That's not exciting. Even if you're a party animal, you yourself, you're still a hard worker. You're a musician. You're dedicated to the craft.
Well, I was started in theater, you know.
So exactly.
You know, exactly. I started in the theater, which meant I had to learn Hamlet. You know, I couldn't go out and go, ooh, yeah.
Right.
You know, right. Hamlet is a little different.
Right.
You know, to be or not to be, that is the question, whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer.
Oh, here we go.
You know, so that is Shakespeare. So I would work hard. I knew every lyric of every song that Mick and Keith and John and Paul and Keith Ralph ever wrote, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I understand the equation of brilliant drama and rock and roll. There's really no difference. It's just people who do what they do well.
Yes.
And that's all I've wanted to see. People do it well, you know, like this new kid, Eddie, what's his name? Eddie, what is it? Young kid in L.A., absolutely going to be on fire. Sort of glam vibe, you know, which
yeah.
is
yeah.
what I love. But again, glam, my ass, you know.
The yeah, glam's a little different now than back when in the 60s
when
and
70s. First, you know, Silverstone, we opened for a band called The Sweet.
They were
sweet. They were called like the Flying Eagles, and they all had beards and flared jeans. And 6 months later, Mike Chapman, a dear friend of mine, turned them into The Sweet. Now they have blue eyeshadow and hits.
Of course, so yeah.
That was a formula. You know, we went a formula. Silver, you know, as I said, we didn't sleep for 2 years.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about what happened with Detective, because in your documentary, you talk about how you got hooked up with Swan Song, the legendary Jimmy Page, Robert Plant,
and
you were opening for Kiss, and everything looked like you were just set to soar. Detective was going to be the next thing. Go ahead.
Well, I am the next thing, you know, even if that thing isn't like on the cover of People every week.
Yeah.
I'd rather be on the cover of Star magazine.
Okay.
That's my one achievement. I want to be on one of those dreadful at Ralph's, you know, those things that you'd see Prince Harry blowing, you know, Cary Grant. And you say, wow, yeah, I want it. Yeah, that's what, yes. Okay. Well, not Cary Grant, you know. Maybe
I don't think he was alive when Prince Harry.
Well, I'm a time traveler.
There's, he's a time traveler.
but you know what I mean. I mean,
it's
Jimmy. You see, Silverhead were playing in Birmingham. There's 15 people there. Did you hear? Do you know the story?
Oh yeah, yeah. Go tell our listeners.
I remember your story. I'll tell you real quick, though, Michael.
You know, and four of them were Led Zeppelin because Bonzo's farm was a few miles away from the club.
Yep.
So we go over to the club, to the Bonzo, and we stay there 2-3 days. And, you know, they were rehearsing and, you know, we formed a relationship there. And Jimmy, I had a great interest, you know, in the Crowley vibe, but that didn't last long because I realized that he was a schmuck, you know. But certainly that whole notion of magic, which is what Jimmy Page is, magic.
Yeah. Sure. Yep.
The greatest guitar player ever, in my view, apart from Hendrix, but that heavy metal vibe, you know.
Exactly.
And, I loved him and adore him. And to this day, I love him. And Scarlett, you know, his girl, is a brilliant poet. They're both really artists, you know.
Yeah.
He's a real artist. And he knew what he wanted, and he got it, you know. And so I was very lucky after Soviet split up. I'm in L.A. with Miss Pamela. You know, I'm hanging out, I'm still strung out, and Jimmy comes along and somebody says, you know, look, let's go with Michael Monarch. He was a guitar player in Steppenwolf, and we do the thing and Detective, and and it was good, you know, it was good records. What really happened was we were going to do this record where Jimmy was going to produce, and he, you know, Robert's son died and Jimmy disappeared for a while, and during that disappearance, I disappeared into cocaine. And so when they came time to make those records, even though I think they're great records, I wasn't enjoying it particularly. Mm-hmm. I was so self-obsessed. Gee, what a shock. it was a detriment. But getting to know, see, the thing is, in my life, I've met so many people that are really talented that outweighs how big the audiences were, how many records I sold. I promise you this. Yeah. You know, the most important thing in my life is I've made good friends with great people.
Nice.
And it's kept me creative to see what they do. I mean, Jimmy Page works harder than anybody, even now, with books and photographs and redoing and mastering and mixing.
Yeah.
So he's always perfecting it with new technology. And I feel the same way, you know, every day one has a quest and somewhere that you want to be, you know, and I want to know people like that. And Paige was one of those people, and, you know, and Kit, Gene, and Paul, I mean, they adore Zeppelin.
Oh, boy, do they ever.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, they love him.
The thing about Paul that I love, just getting over from Gene, the thing I love about Paul is his favorite singers are my favorite singers. And they are Stevie Marriott, Terry fucking Reed.
Yeah,
you know, and those cats, you know, and R&B, you know, the guy's a blues guy, and I liked his bluesy record. You know, I think he should have stripped it down and done it a little more sort of, you know, not so controlled. But maybe he will next time. But
the production on it's fantastic. That album, the
production is too fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Too perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, it's too perfect.
Okay.
He's got a great voice, and I think that he had all that band and that. You know, that wonderful production, I think, is great, but it's not as great as literally the simplicity of blues, rhythm and blues, you know.
Yeah.
Because if you really think about it, they did two takes.
Oh, yeah.
And that was enough because, you know, all of the great R&B singers that he loves, Sam Cooke, you know, they did it real fast. Without really constructed saxophones.
I think he picked up on that from Rod Stewart. He loves himself some Rod Stewart. And Rod Stewart loves the Sam Cooke vibe and all that. But
Rod's produced himself, you know. He knew that music. And people don't really understand that Sir Roderick Stewart was as good as a producer as he was a singer, which might cause
I didn't realize that.
Wow.
A lot of people. He knew what he wanted, even though he used, you know, great producers. I do believe in the early days, the Faces and all of that, he had a very major part in how it would sound. And how it sounded was when you listen to the Faces, you hear that piano.
There's the drums.
Girls or fucking conga players or shit like that. It's just Rod, that bluesy thing with Ronnie Wood's perfection. Kenny Jones, you know, that's what Paul Stanley loves and should have maybe gone towards rather than doing a very slick R&B album. And I say that with love and appreciation.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we were talking about online, we saw on Twitter, was it's about a week or so ago, it was the anniversary of the release of Destroyer. And there was an article online about, you know, 10 or 20 facts that you might not know about Destroyer. And they talked about a song called Ain't None of Your Business, which recently has come to the forefront for Kiss fans because it was made available on the Destroyer box set for the 45th anniversary. Prior to that, Kiss fans really, it was kind of underground. It really wasn't well known. But in that article, it said that Bob Ezrin didn't think that the song was, quote, sophisticated enough to make Destroyer. Now, I bring this up because you were involved with that and Detective even recorded it. Our listeners can't see, but Michael is giving the finger right now, not to me or Zeus, but I think to that story. Now, I will tell.
How dare this man say that is Kiss known for its sophistication?
I couldn't agree with you.
Talking about God of fucking Thunder, is this T.S. Eliot? Ain't None of Your Business is a rock and roll song. Kiss is a rock and roll band. Fuck off. If I ever see you, I will not buy you lunch.
But that being said, Michael, I'll be completely honest with you, and Zeus can attest to this because I've said this long before we met you. I think Peter singing that song, I think it kicks ass.
He's a great singer. It's a Rod Stewart song. Get out of here. I mean, I read this thing.
Yeah.
Sophisticated.
I couldn't believe
it. You guys who are Kiss fans, have you ever heard any Kiss fan say that Kiss, listen, man, Destroyer, so sophisticated.
Yeah,
it's true.
That's the most sophisticated album ever made. This is better than Burt Bacharach. This is sophistication.
I couldn't agree with you more.
What world are you living in? What kind of ego that this producer has, who, by the way, is a spectacular producer.
Oh, sure.
I'm not saying anything about his talents, but to come at me, wrong. Not a good idea. Not a good thing.
Now,
I will beat him to death with my intellectualism and my understanding of music. You know, my understanding of music is way above his head.
There you go, Michael. Nice. Love it.
Did you write that song with Kiss in mind, or was it a tell us about how you brought it in?
It's just a great song. I really don't want to get into the who wrote it and all.
Okay, that's fine.
The most important thing to understand is it was a great blues song. Ain't none of your business, da-da, never you mind.
That attitude.
Mind is that sophisticated? Never you mind. What is that?
That's great.
Sexy is what that is.
I couldn't agree.
That attitude.
But it's all is well in rock and roll. God bless him. He's a great producer. He's done some great work in this particular thing. Get out of here.
And that's where we got to get Michael on to talk about this. But there's a third song. So we've done See You in Your Dreams. We just talked about Ain't None of Your Business. There's a third song you worked with Kiss on, and that's Gene. And I mean, the title has kind of become a punchline for our podcast, and that's Mongoloid Man. You want to tell us about that and how the fuck that came about? It's you, Gene, and Joe Perry from Aerosmith. These three musical awesome geniuses came up with Mongoloid Man. You want to help us out?
Yeah, I think, Gene has a real comedic sense. And I think that a lot of, and really he's a hilarious guy. I mean, he's a really funny guy. I'm constantly laughing in his presence, And I do believe that Mongoloid Man is as dumb and as sophisticated
as exactly.
Yeah, come on, Mongoloid Man. Yes, Shakespeare, Hamlet, Taming the Shrew, and Mongoloid Man. These are all great artworks. Give me a break. I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke. It's a look. Gene loves comics. He's 70 something years old, and he still reads his comics. You know why? Because it's comforting for him.
It was from a different time for him.
And he has such a belief system that, of course, he's going to want to go in a little direction and do something fun. Mongoloid Man.
I think you were doing a little bit of the call and answer with him. He was singing some of that.
Which I love to do with good singers. He's a great singer. He's got the thing about the singing thing is, do you believe the vocalist?
Right.
Is he singing the truth? I mean,
Mongoloid Man. Did you turn to him and say, dude, what are you doing here?
I thought it was great. I thought, because, they're not Metallica,
it's true, and
hammers and axes and Judas Priest, Judas this, Pontius Pilate, that's my new band, P-A-I-L-O-T.
Good one.
I'll be in a big plane and I'll fly, I mean, all that metal stuff and all that death metal is so sad. It's like a 13-year-old playing, in the basement.
Yeah,
I'm jerking off, masturbating to a book based on Vikings.
I agree with your theory about that kind of music. I get shit up for it. I just think there's so much more to be more fun. It's too out there.
Rock and roll is sex, not killing people.
Yeah.
That's well said. I like that. That's well said. Now, when you were involved with Gene's album or the solo albums in general, you're a Kiss fan at the time. Were you like, Gene, what is going on with this album? Like, isn't a Kiss album? What are you doing here? Or was it like, hey, he's expressing himself. He's an artist. He has friends in the business. This is what he wants to put together.
Well, it comes a point in your life where you can do anything you want. And he
chose
to do solo record. It's like he bought two Rolls Royces, if you were in the position to do anything you want, what would you do? You do it. You do whatever you want.
Great point.
In his case, just like anybody else, he did that. You know, fortunately, he didn't get Bob Ezra to produce. And other than that, you know, it's great. You know, I don't mean that, Bob, if you're listening. You know, I admire you, but that was really dumb. Anyway, but you
love
know,
it.
Gene can do whatever he wants. He can live in, you know, Las Vegas and sell that and then get another one here and there. And, you know, Mongoloid Man will come to his help. Hi, Mongoloid guys. Hi, fellas. Yeah, you could come over and just, you know, entertain Shannon while I go out to go shopping. Okay. All right, good. Okay, what, 20 minutes? 20 minutes? Okay. Okay, bye.
Royalties from Mongoloid Man, I can see. Yeah.
Oh, I bought a house in the Bahamas.
Royalties
Mongoloid Bahamas is what they call it now.
Michael, I got to ask you a couple, and I'm getting a little off track, but I want to take a step back. You were talking about the whole thing with Jimmy and stuff. I wanted to say earlier, I'll never forget when I was a kid, a teenager, and getting Hammer of the Gods, flipping through it, reading the part about Swan Song, and seeing the infamous photo of Detective and Jimmy passed out on the couch. And you talk about it a little bit in your documentary on, and I just didn't know the real backstory about all that. Fascinating shit.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, they all were in Malibu, all four of them, and we were in, you know, at some flash hotel with Peter, and we just signed, you know, the contracts with Peter, and we were there hours.
Peter Grant?
Yeah, and Richard Cole, who I adored and loved and recently left the planet, but he was not the Richard Cole that ended up sober and fantastic. You know, he was a tough guy. He threw, you know, he would do anything at any time. It was very, very, it was a strange thing going on with Zeppelin, biggest band in the world, immediately. That's the word that nobody really understands, that these four guys, Robert, 19, 20, you know, comes over and conquers America. Mm. Each gig, 10,000 more people. I mean, literally. And so that run was unbelievable. And, you know, substances pop up and, you know, that happens. And in terms of that day, we were at the hotel for quite some time while the lawyers worked it out, with Peter Grant looking menacingly. You know, you know, I've been through a lot of stuff, man. You know, I don't know why I'm telling you all of this, but
all the better.
This is what really went down. And, you know, Richard Cole was throwing coat hangers at us, and, you know, and
for what reason?
No reason.
No reason. Just throwing shit at you.
There's no reason, man. You know, it's just power.
Yeah.
Because they were isolated and powerful.
Yeah.
And they didn't get to see the rest of the world for the rest of their lives, in many ways, if you think about it deeply, like I have.
Yeah.
So that went down, and Jimmy, you know, somebody, you know, people went to go get him, so he could be in the signing photographs to legitimize Detective signing with Swan Song.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just put it this way. He was exhausted.
That's a kind way of saying it.
Yeah.
I'll leave the rest, you know.
Yeah. I mean, people can watch the documentary.
It's not for me to judge Jimmy Page. I love Jimmy Page.
Of course. Of course.
And I just suggested that we sit there in front of him, you know, which I thought was funny.
Of course.
You know, all my life, I've wanted to make things humorous and active and positive. And I thought, you know, you'd look at bands of the 8x10 of bands. That,
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Scowling.
I don't want to scowl, motherfucker. You know, I've been scowled at by the aristocracy of England. I don't need to be, you know, scowled at by the bass player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought it was funny, but, you know, it was misinterpreted and sort of, and Jimmy was furious. And my dear friend Danny Goldberg, you know, had set it up and you know, he took most of the vibes that Jimmy was just furious about.
Mm. Yeah.
So he should have, you know, but there it is. And, you know, say that me, and I'm still friends with Jimmy, and it's again, it's
good.
Beautiful.
I mean, that's just amazing. That's just an amazing thing, because I mean, we could talk to you about this. We could have spent this last half an hour or so just talking about your acting career and all the amazing people that you became friends with just from your acting career. And which is the thing, which is I always find so fascinating about you. It's like you're always everybody that you meet or come around you, it seems to always gravitate you. You have that persona that people want to be around you. And you whether you know, got the number one hit, it doesn't matter. You're the rock star in the room when you walk in, and there might be other guys that sell millions of albums, but people are fascinated by you.
I think it's because, you know, when you meet somebody, and I appreciate everything you've said, but when you meet somebody that doesn't give a fuck, really.
Yes.
You know, I think then that they feel safe.
Agreed.
When we fucking did Live Aid. There I am. 3 days before I get the phone call. 3 days. So I've got to rehearse 30 songs in 3 days.
This is with Power Station?
I adored Robert Palmer.
Power Station, right, Michael? Right?
Yeah. Power Station, right?
So the Power Station thing is so fascinating. I mean, really, come on. I mean, 3 days?
Yeah.
And I'm going to play with Mick Jagger, Tina Turner, Bob Dylan, you name it. I mean, it's like, you know, it's insane. And I felt like $1 billion. Never mind.
That's awesome.
I bounced out there like, but what have I got to lose? I've been in 62 bands. I've made 20 movies by then. I was well rehearsed. I could do a song. You could sing it once. I could do it. And I had to learn all these Ram songs. And then we did My Songs. Obsession was like number one all over the world at that time that I wrote with the great Holly Knight.
With Holly Knight.
Yes, that's the other Kiss connection. Holly Knight. Yes.
That's right.
Holly Knight had written for them too. But in terms of the whole notion of people magnetized by yours truly is that I listen to them because we can get a conversation going that's got nothing to do with the difficulties of your life, but the advantages of your life. I am grateful for this stuff. I don't have any regrets at all. If you can say that to somebody who obviously is hurting, even a big star, and let me tell you, big stardom is fucking hard, you know, because you can't go anywhere. You know, they expect you to be spectacular every time, you know, in full makeup and clothing and perfect. Nobody is that. It's on the screen, you know. So it's very – so a lot of, you know, I mean, Don Johnson, Clint Eastwood, all of these people I've worked with, Jerry Seinfeld is really the absolute exquisite perfection of stardom and how he deals with it. That's millions of dollars, and there's a reason for that. He makes everybody feel good. He knows his lines backwards and forwards, you know, and there are a few, you know, but my experience is the more famous you become, the more difficult it becomes.
And speaking of Jerry, we talked about this before we started recording.
Yes.
You're looking at two of the all-time biggest Seinfeld fans. And we would be remiss if we didn't talk about this for a few minutes. One of the greatest Seinfeld episodes ever. And I'm telling you, and one of the reasons it is one of the greatest episodes is your role as the valet the maitre d'.
Yeah, the maitre d'.
Maitre d'. For the smelly car.
The valet stank. Yeah.
Yeah, the valet.
B.O.
Everybody, how did you end up getting that role with Jerry and just, it's an incredible performance and it's only about 2 minutes long.
I did it under the normal circumstances. You get your agent calls you and she sends you the scripts, you know.
Yeah.
And you try and find somebody, you know, in yourself that would make that funny. And I go into the casting director and Jerry's always there, everything, you know, Larry Charles, all those cats are great, you know, producers and stuff. And I just nailed it. You know, I didn't bring a script with me. I wore a suit and tie.
Yeah.
And I said, what am I doing here exactly? Could I look at the kitchen? Could I look at the kitchen? Yes. And the chef is good. And what I did was pretend that I was being, you know, having a meeting about being the maitre d' of a restaurant.
Right.
I said,
that's so awesome.
So what sort of tips does one get? tips. Money. Yes. And they were going, and they were fucking, they're given the fucking job. Even right. Restaurants, you know. So, and then we ended up, and then when we would do it, it was so funny, you know, because anything to do with body odor, you know.
Of course.
Dumbness is on fire there.
I just found your pronunciation of every word that came out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Me and Tom would imitate it constantly. Once in a while on Twitter, I would tweet back to you and you'd laugh about it and stuff. And it was, I don't have time to smell cars. I'm a busy man.
Oh, that's so fabulous. Because, you know, going to those schools, you know, it was all of this. Michael, what does your father do?
Yeah.
Well, daddy's in prison. It was not the answer. You know what? I came up with a line and I said, my father has independent means. And they would go, what the fuck is he talking about? What does an independent mean? It's like, and that was so sort of like, you know, oh, wow, what is that? This is like so rich that you can't even say what the guy's. But they spoke like that guy in Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
He's British. It's all this. Prince Harry, Charles. King Charles.
Yeah,
King Charles.
Exactly. That expression you're doing now with your head and the shaking like that, that's in the episode.
Everything she stands for. And you think, totally rude, because they all sound like, you know, totally incredibly stupid and rude. And Megan should have done that, should you? You know, have sex with, you know, my son. How dare he? You know, it's this British fucking thing that's so disgusting. The class system. So I wanted to take the piss out of them. This restaurant, you know, and you know, it was the biggest show that they had in numbers. You know,
no, it's incredible.
We love that episode.
A huge audience. And the reruns. I mean, people still come up to me and my wife, you know, and they go, Murdoch.
That's right, MacGyver. That's right, Murdoch.
So sweet, you know. I mean, yesterday we went for a walk at the Huntington Gardens in Pasadena, and this young kid came up and said, I just love Murdoch. He was a Southern kid on holiday. I love you. I love you right now. You don't look the same. No, you kind of look different. That's okay, because I love you, and I love you to killing people.
That's nice.
You know? And I thought, wow, that's surreal magic. You know, that's the TV for you. These reruns. Plus, I get at least $2 every time something's shown. You know, so I'm very wealthy.
Well, Michael, I mean, we can't thank you enough. Right now, currently, you're still doing the Little Steven radio show on SiriusXM.
Oh, God, am I ever? Yeah, I love it. But I've made an album, you guys, and when it's going to blow your mind. It's a fantastic record. It's cover songs, but I can't tell you what it is, but you can imagine what it is. But it's the best thing I've ever done.
Really? Okay.
Sung better in my life than I did. I have a great band. Guitar, bass, drums, very simple. Rock and roll, but really powerful. Really nice.
When is it out?
No, is it out? No, you'll know when it's out. I'll send it to you guys.
Oh. Okay, excellent.
Yeah, we would love to hear, and we'll certainly push it out there.
It's called It's Only Rock and Roll.
Perfect.
Wow. Even though that's a mixed vibe, you know, nevertheless, it's true. Where is it? Where is it, rock and roll, right now? Where is it? You know.
It's dead, according to Gene.
Yeah. According to Gene, he thinks rock and roll is dead. Maybe you should give him a call.
I completely disagree with that, because the whole thing about it, no, nothing dies. Mm. You know, it comes in waves, as all good things must. You know?
Yeah.
The orgasmic wave will come and go, like the sea, like the ocean. It'll come in, it'll go out, it'll come in. You know, Gene's very, very singular, and he has statements. You know, that's the one thing I think that his brilliant, unique genius is sort of suffers from, a particular line that he can only drive down. There are a lot of alleyways. There's a lot of corners. And I like corners, alleyways, and gutters. And that would describe rock and roll.
Yeah.
Perfect. Michael, this has been beyond fascinating. We can't thank you enough for your time. Guys, if you're not following Michael on Twitter, do it. He's very active and he's excellent. He's one of my favorite follows. Michael, people can check you out on your website. Everybody keep your eyes and ears open for his new record. Michael, again, this has been a thrill. We thank you so much for your time and for your
great talking with you both. You know, you're humorous. You love something. You believe in it. I believe in what you believe in, too.
Thank you.
And I think I've had a lovely, lovely conversation with you.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Of course.
So that was Michael DeBar. I know what I thought. What about you think, Tom?
It was amazing. I didn't want it to end. Like, I couldn't believe how quickly it moved, and I didn't want it to. I was just having so much fun. And just the story, like, listening to a guy who was worked with Jimmy Page and Robert Plant, who was hanging out with Gene and, you know, has some choice words to say about Bob Ezrin's decisions to not leave that song off of Destroyer that he, you know, thought was pretty cool. Just incredible stuff. And then, of course, at the end, you know, we get into his acting, and Zeus and I are big, big Seinfeld geeks. So talking about that, just incredible stuff. We're a real gracious guest and a very, very kind man.
Yeah, our streak continues of just being overwhelmed and surprised at how awesome a guest can be.
Yep.
He came in and just blew us away. He's so thoughtful. His storytelling is fantastic. He's got total, like, you gotta, like, you know, you're talking to him, he's got this charisma. You can't put a word on it. And he's just got that no fucks given attitude that really translates. He has a ton of stories. He's knows everybody, yet he's treating us like, yep, hey buddy, yeah, let's talk. Yeah. Yep. So kind, so thoughtful. Love his storytelling. Love his appreciation of Gene and Paul.
Me too.
Love it.
Yeah.
Because you would think a guy like that, kind of like a punk like thing, we might be like, oh, fuck those guys. No.
No.
He's the opposite. Yep. Complete opposite. Obviously, he like really treasures his relationship with Gene.
Yep.
And it really shows. It really shows.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Thank you, Michael.
Tom, what we do next, we go to Kiss Question. You got one?
Of course. Yes, we do. We got one from our good friend and longtime listener, Wes Beach. Oh. Speaking of Kiss connections, the Plasmatics. Yeah. He starts off with, hey, guys. He says, got me thinking. Do you think that Vinnie Vincent could have saved the Elder if he came along sooner? It would have been a much different album, and he did work with Bob Ezrin. What do you think?
No, I don't think so. Because as talented as he was, he produced a great album called Creatures of the Night through his contributions. That did nothing. That was still a makeup album. The same members that are in Creatures and, you know, the touring of Creatures before Lick It Up. Yet that didn't find success. So why would music from the Elder find success? So even if the songs are good, I think they were dead in the water.
Well, okay. Let's look at it from a separate angle. Let's not look at it from like a sales. Let's look at it as like a quality. Like you love Creatures of the Night. Most Kiss fans love that album.
I also like music from the Elder.
Right. But I'm saying, I actually think that this is a good question, because I think Vinny could have added something or maybe steered some of the direction. I mean, the Paul and Gene were going to do what they wanted to do. Bob Ezrin was going to do what they wanted to do. But I think Vinny, put it this way, if Vinny was involved, it could not have been worse. Okay. I think he would have made it better. Could he have saved them? I don't know about that, Wes, but I love these what if questions. I think they're so fun to talk about and think about. And as Kiss nerds, we love it. We know you guys do too, but, Wes, great question, buddy, and thanks for always just being a longtime fan and supporter of the show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, Tom, tell us where people can find us.
Best place is our website, shoutitoutloudcast.com. Everything March Madness is there, too. There's a whole special March Madness link there. You can see the bracket. You can see when it gets updated. You can see the polls from Twitter, which is a cool way as the tournament progresses, you can go and look back at who won, who lost, instead of having to try to scroll through our Twitter feed. So that's pretty cool. But then, of course, all of our episodes, Shout It Out Loudcast, Dorm Damage, Album Review Crew, Zeppelin Chronicles, all the rankings, links to our Patreon, links to our merch store, links to our Amazon shop. Everything is there. It's the best place to do that. So please check that out. And you can obviously send us messages through the website too, as we talked about earlier. And you, of course, you can use our email, shoutoutloudcast@gmail.com, shoutoutloudcast@gmail.com. Please send us your emails. We read them all. And we try to get to most of them during the show too, but please continue to do that. And of course, social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, very active on that. Tag us, post up, you know, all that good stuff. We're very actively involved. You know that. And as we said earlier, our amazing and wonderful Patreon family, we love you guys. If you're interested, check us out at patreon.com or download the app and search for us. And we're also proud to be part of the Pantheon Podcast Network of music podcasts. So you can check us out there too, as well.
Yeah. So I always tell people they can DM us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, subscribe to our YouTube channel. As you saw, we also put up the video for the interview with Graham Bonnet, the actual video. So we're starting to do that. If we get our interviews on the album review crew, the interviews, we'll probably do that as well. So check out our, so we're going to start putting those videos out there. So if that interests you, please make sure you subscribe. Give us one of those 5-star child reviews on Apple, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Facebook, your mother's cookbook. I don't care. If you see a 5-star review, give us one. We appreciate it. That's a big help to the show. And as we talk about, well, how can you help the show? 5-star reviews. Patreon's the number one. And go use our Amazon store and, of course, our awesome merch. I know there are some countries that it's hard to get it set up. And so reach out to us if it's not in your area, because you have to go to Amazon and or you go to our merch on our website, and our merch is done by Amazon now. So with that being said, if you have difficulties of any kind because you're in a state where Amazon, because you're in a country where Amazon's is not set up, let us know. We can work that with you. I know we got somebody set up in England earlier this week that wanted to get a new Shout It Out Loudcast shirt. Also, our buddy Jeff Trott set up some great new designs. The Paul's Bike one is fucking hilarious.
Incredible.
The Zeppelin Chronicles he cleans up, and a few others. Go to our Amazon store or go to our merch on our website, shoutitoutloudcast.com, shoutitoutloudcast.com. And I always like to give the email if you want to send us a message at shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com, shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. Tom, what we like to do is end with famous last words. You got any?
Oh, I do. I will be what I will be. Quit your checking on me. Don't start your innuendos or giving me a third degree. Ain't none of your business.
If I want to get a free... Isn't that Salt and Pepper on the Weekend? Ain't none of your business.
Oh, my God. I think you're right.
Right? Remember that song?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, I got one here, too. Because I'm a mongoloid man. I do what I can. A mongoloid man. Man to man. I do what I can. Michael DeBar. Oh, the Marquis Michael DeBar. Tom, Loudcasters, Kiss Army, thank you very much.
A huge, huge thanks to Michael DeBar. Incredible. And his lovely wife, too, who helped set up the Zoom form and check all the information there. She was very lovely as well.
Yes.
And again, thank you guys so much for everything. We're just so thrilled with the interaction, the support, the feedback. It's just so great to see. We love you guys. And Zeus, as always, my friend, thank you.
Peace out, Girl Scout.
I'm not paying for that. They already got my $7. Erotic journey from Milan to Minsk.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.